Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody this morning. And I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship together. We're no longer social distancing, but it looks like y'all are this morning. I'm just teasing. You just worked out that way today. Looking at our bulletin this morning, do notice the insert with our announcements in it. In lieu of flowers, a donation has been made to Walker Church by Cecilia Davison to the glory of God and in memory of Seal's dear and loving aunt on her August birthday. Please note the Bible study announcement is in your bulletin. Those details are there. Please note the Thursday Bible meetings that were taking place due to COVID. The last meeting will be on Thursday, August 26th, as in September we're going to be gearing things back up with Sunday school in full force, etc. So, but please make note of that. Also, if you attend the Sunday school class that uses the curriculum from Cokesbury, that material is in the Moon Sunday school class, and please feel free to go and pick up a book. Also, we will mention her, of course, during the prayer time, but for those who have not heard, Ann Williams, at the age of 96, passed away on July 31st. And so we will be remembering her family later, but just to let you know that if you were not aware already. Are there announcements that should be made that were not made? If not, it's a joy every time the Lord calls us together, so let us come and worship His most holy name. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, indeed, we know that you are with us. So we come and we turn this service over to you, praying that your Holy Spirit just takes over our hearts and our minds and our souls, so that through this service, your name is praised and your people are blessed. We pray that this service will be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it will be a strengthening and blessing for your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
The story goes that our spiritual ancestor, John Wesley, and his brother Charles were headed back to England from Georgia. on a sea voyage. I guess that's the only way to get there. When a big storm came up, everybody congregated in the hold of the ship and huddled together in fear. But John noticed that there was a group of Moravians who were in the corner singing. And he approached the leader of the group and said, "Brother, how can you sing when our lives are in such peril?" And the leader of the Moravians answered, "Oh, Brother Wesley, in times like these, had I 1,000 tongues, I would praise God with each one of them." Amen. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, we'll sing 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. Let's stand as we sing.
As we go to prayer this morning and share our joys and concerns, as always, we have our prayer list that's printed in the bulletin. We do want to remember the family of Ann Williams, who passed away on July 31st. At this time, the schedule is for the graveside service to be held on October 9th. But the time has not been determined yet. So we will send out a calling post when all the details are firm. But if you're wanting to go to her service and would like to put that down at this time, at this point, it looks like it's going to be October 9th, sometime in the afternoon. And Eddie tells me that Susan's sister is progressing, slowly but progressing, and the plans are, if everything continues as is, for Susan to fly home Tuesday. So pray for her safety as well as she anticipates flying home. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If there's not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that you have placed it in our hearts, and your people have listened and have gathered with the church to come and worship your most holy name. We thank you that whenever we gather that you are here with us in a special way, for we know that in every setting of life, regardless of numbers or if we are completely alone, you're always with us. But you've promised that whenever a group of people gathers in your name, you're here among us. And so we know that you're here in a special and unique way. So we do pray that as we have assembled, that we are able to focus all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength upon you, remembering who you are, and being reminded that we are your children. And being reminded that we are your children, we're able to praise you whatever our emotional circumstance may be in the moment. For we know that you love us. We know that you never forsake us. We know that even in those times that we don't understand and perhaps we don't like, we know you see farther down the road than we ever could. So gracious Lord, I just pray that as your heart communes with each heart this morning, that you are pleased by what you experience and that your name is praised. And I pray for each one of us that as we commune with you, that when we leave this room, we will be walking closer to you than we've ever walked to you before. That we will hear your voice speaking to us clearer than we've ever heard before. That when we are struggling, that we will feel your love and your strength more than we ever have before. That as we have gathered and we're in your presence now, may we walk out ever more closer to your presence than we have in our entire journey with you. And we do thank you that in the confidence of your love for us, in the assurance of that faith, that we bring before you names that you already know on our prayer list, but Lord, you have invited us to come boldly into the throne room of grace. We know that you know situations that are upon our hearts that we don't share with anyone else, but you know those. We pray your healing touch according to your will and your wisdom to be upon each one. And Lord, we do pray that you will be with Ann Williams' family. For Lord, you blessed her with longevity, and for that we are thankful. But even when we've had our loved ones with us for many years, as far as this earth is concerned, their leaving us still leaves a void that cannot be filled because they are no longer with us. And so, Lord, I just pray that your peace that passes all understanding will wrap your loving arms around them, even in this moment. And as always, Lord, we never want to forget, we never want to take for granted the freedom that is ours. We pray that as we worship you freely this morning, that you protect those who are protecting us, that your healing is upon the wounded and your peace is upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And Lord, we pray for any military personnel that will be sent to Afghanistan to rescue the Americans that are still there. Lord, we pray that it will be a time when a quote-unquote peaceful transition will take place. But Lord, it hasn't looked like that's going to take place right now. And so Lord, I just pray that any military personnel that go in to rescue our fellow Americans, Lord, that you protect them and every single one of them come out unscathed and they're able to retrieve every one of our fellow Americans and bring them home unscathed. And Lord, we just pray for your leadership upon our government. And gracious Lord, we thank you as always for the family of God that worships, serves, and encourages one another through Walker Church. We thank you for those who tread before us and have now left us this time in history. We pray that we will be faithful in our time. That as you have blessed us, we will be a blessing to this community and even the world. And when we leave these grounds, remind us consciously of what we already know by faith. May we be conscious that you are with us through your Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed. And bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Let's stand as we sing.
Pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed you have come into our hearts, and as a part of our response to you, we bring back a portion of the financial gifts that you lavished upon us. May your blessings continue upon each gift and giver, and may you guide us as a congregation that every penny entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and even throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you all. Our scripture lesson this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
What is our default attitude? What is our default personality? Ephesians is a letter through which Paul reminds his readers of their new life in Christ, of Christ's love for them, and the benefits of being in a saving relationship with Him. The first part of the letter is theological. The second part of the letter is Paul giving instruction about how to live into this relationship with Jesus and with each other. As part of that instruction, Paul encourages us to live wisely, to sing inwardly and outwardly, and to be thankful. Simple enough. But simple does not necessarily equate to being easy. Simple does not necessarily equate to an attitude or an act coming naturally to us, such as what led to the opening questions. When relating to God, when relating to other people, when dealing with life's opportunities and dealing with life's challenges, what is our default attitude? What are our default actions? Another way of asking this is to consider, what's my first response most apt to be? Paul advises the Christian to live wisely. And let me remind you that in the Bible, being wise is not the same thing as we see worldly wisdom. In worldly wisdom, the more books you can say you have read, the more stuff you can quote, the more smart sounding you can be, the more wise you are perceived. But in the Bible, wisdom is simply seeking the will of God, and upon knowing the will of God, doing the will of God. As opposed to the unwise who refuse to seek God's will, and even if they know God's will, they refuse to do God's will, as they insist on pursuing their own desires, their own inclinations, doing things their own way. Now, I don't think anyone in this room this morning, I don't think any striving Christian is going to intentionally not seek God's will. I don't think there's anyone in this room, I don't think there's a striving Christian who is going to intentionally disobey God. But I know in my human relationships, even my relationships closest to my heart, so many times my initial response was neither beneficial or intended. If we will be our best selves in Christ, as in everything else in life,
We're going to be intentional. We're going to do it on purpose. We're going to be intentional about seeking to know the will of God. We're going to be intentional about, upon knowing the will of God, doing the will of God. Because as in everything else in life, if we are not intentional, we tend to default in the opposite direction of where we really want to go. A few practical examples. Successful, loving marriages don't just happen. Not every woman is as lucky as Sally to be married to a man who has no quirks.
I'm pretty sure about that.
Notice you didn't get an amen from this corner over here. Both spouses have to work at it. It doesn't just happen. Both spouses have to work at building the relationship. Both spouses have to want a good marriage and be working toward that good marriage. We have to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. Establishing solid financial practices has to be done intentionally. I am constantly amazed at how many athletes and entertainment personalities go bankrupt. I mean, these athletes make more for a single game. Entertainers make more for a single TV episode than most successful people in the real world make in a year. And some of these personalities that are movie personalities, they make more for a single movie than you will make in your lifetime, and your kids will make in their lifetime, and your grandkids will make in their lifetime, all added together. But yet they go bankrupt. Why? Because whether you make a ginormous amount or whether you make a little amount, if you're not intentional with your finances, it slips away. No one has ever said, to my knowledge, I don't ask for a show of hands because you can always be surprised. But to my knowledge, nobody has ever said, just let bad health take over. Fine with me.
You know, I feel that live that way though.
Yeah, I do.
And you know, I often hear people say, well, you know, being here beats the alternative. Well, no. If we believe what I preach from the pulpit and we preach with our lives, if we really believe in this heaven stuff, then being in heaven is far superior to being here. But I'm worried about how I get from here to there. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing some rough ways of getting from point A to point B. I've never heard anybody say, I'll just take the hard road to point B. Well, there's no guarantees in life, of course. But if we are going to be in our best health, it doesn't just happen for most. There are a handful that just have good genes. But for most of us, if we're going to be and give ourselves the best chance at health, we have to do it on purpose. And even something as mundane as a vehicle. If you want your vehicle to last as long as it should, you better change the oil once in a while. If you want your vehicle to last as long as it should, you probably better check your oil once in a while. In other words, if you want your vehicle to last as long as it should, then you have to be intentional about scheduled periodic maintenance. The same holds true in living a wise life
versus an unwise. Because can I be honest with ourselves and with the Lord? Very often, if I dare go so far as say perhaps even most often, but at least very often, our initial impulses or our first thoughts or our reflex reactions are not Christ-like. It may just be something that happens up here and never comes out. But so many times what first comes into my head, that's not Jesus. So many times my first response is not consistent with Jesus. Because you see, we have this gift that presents us with a struggle. We're human beings. Now let me reiterate, biblically speaking, we're not just human. Biblically speaking, we are human. Because according to the Bible, humans are the only creation that are created in the image of God. But ever since humanity disobeyed God in the account of Adam and Eve in Genesis, humans have not lived up to that image. Indeed, we are born with a tendency to sin. Our default when we are born is to be unwise. And left unchecked, that's how we continue. If you don't think we're born with a propensity to sin, try not giving a baby its way and see what happens. And if that's not called into check, we do the same thing in different forms all through our lives. We're born with a propensity to sin, to being unwise. Someone wrote about their brother-in-law. Their brother-in-law never would wear a seatbelt. And the writer berated them up one side and down the other. Now the writer says one day this brother-in-law picks them up at the airport and they're wearing their seatbelt. And the writer asks, what happened? What changed you? And the brother-in-law said, well, I went to visit a friend of mine in the hospital who was in an accident, went through the windshield, and had to have 200 or 300 stitches in his face. I said to myself, self, I'd better put on my seatbelt. To which the writer responded, did you not know before that if you didn't wear your seatbelt and you were in an accident that you could go through the windshield? He said, oh yeah, I did. He said, I knew full well. But when I went to the hospital to see my friend, I did not get any new information. But the information I had finally sank in. And now it affects the way I live. It's one thing to know right and wrong, but it really doesn't matter. It's another thing to know what the Bible says, but man, sometimes it really doesn't matter. John, what in the world do you mean by that? You dare say that from the pulpit? If you don't choose the right, what difference does it make that you know what the right is? If you know right from wrong, but you insist on doing the wrong, what difference does it make that you know what right is? If we're not going to do what the Bible says, why read it? If we're going to read the Bible and ignore it and say it doesn't fit in the 21st century, well then what good does it do to know it?
Just because we know right from wrong doesn't mean we're going to do right. Just because we know what the Bible says doesn't mean we're going to follow what the Bible says. It's when we are convinced in that deepest part of our being, the most common word we use is heart. But it's when we're convinced in that part of our being where our motivations and our attitudes and our actions are formed that we are convinced of what most of the time we already know. And that's when we live as wise persons. Well, Paul also instructed us, encouraged us to sing inwardly and outwardly or vocally. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Have you ever noticed the effect that music has on us? Sometimes it articulates how we feel. Song sung blue, everybody knows one. Sometimes it determines how we feel. Sometimes we can be listening to music that just kind of goes against the grain and it makes it harder to complete a task. Sometimes we listen to music that we like, and when we do, it helps us complete the task. When I go to the gym, I always use my earbuds. And I know I hear a lot of people say earphones, but earbuds, they stick right in your ears. And I want to, when I go to the gym, most of the time their music is not to my taste. And so when I stick in my earbuds, yes, some people probably say you're messing up your hearing, but then I guess I'll get hearing aids later. But I like the music blaring in my ears. Now, I listen to all kinds of music, some secular music. But I listen to a lot of contemporary Christian. And if there were some young people in here this morning, they would think, what? I listen to a lot of Ralph Stanley. You know, it's amazing what a good bluegrass banjo can help you do when you're trying to work out. But I want my music blaring in my ears when I'm working out because it's drowning out the stuff that distracts me and it energizes me into working out. And so then as I'm working out, I'm accomplishing two things. I'm getting my body in the best condition I can. I'm being intentional about my health. And I'm also hearing songs about the love of the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord. So that simultaneously, in all places, a gym, I'm getting my physical self in shape and I am having my heart reminded of the love of God. And then I'm ready to hit the day. Paul instructed the Ephesians that when they come together, sing. Sing psalms, sing hymns, sing spiritual songs. Enliven your connection with the Lord and with each other. Motivate each other as you sing. And I want to encourage you this morning. And for every morning from this point on. Don't be shy about singing. I hope none of you have had the displeasure of hearing me sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And every once in a while, Sally every Sunday listens to our service to see how she thinks it sounds on our website. And every once in a while she said, I heard you singing. I said, oh no. But I'm still going to sing. I'm going to risk being heard on this recorder. Why? Because when I sing, when you sing, we're connected with God. Something about singing that you won't get in a sermon or studying, something about singing, our heart connects with God's heart. And we're praising God and we're being reminded of who God is. So at the risk of being heard on this recorder, I am going to sing. And I encourage you,
Now, I'm not going to come out and tap anybody on the shoulder, but it amazes me sometimes. Well, I was the same way in the congregation, I'll have to confess. Sometimes some of you look like how you're trying to out-whisper each other. You're so afraid somebody's going to hear you. I understand. I hope I have my mic turned off every time we're singing. I understand. But do your best not to be shy. Sing. Sing so that you connect with God. Sing so that you're praising God. Sing so that we connect with each other. And I don't know if you notice it. I know up here we have to. I notice it. I can't speak for the choir. But it's amazing how much more we sing and praise individually when as a whole group we're singing. When we're trying to out-whisper each other, we just each get more and more discouraged, and we keep trying to out-whisper each other till pretty soon can't nobody hear anybody. But when we lift our voices and we praise God, well, if you don't think you can sing, hopefully the one that you do think you can sing, that can't sing drowns you out. And together, we praise God. We're encouraged and motivated to sing together. We're reminded of God who loves us and who we are. And when we sing, God's heart is thrilled as God is praised. We're reminded as we receive through singing God's assurance of God's love and God's faithfulness. Well, there's one more point. Paul instructs us to be thankful. In completing his thought in reminding us to sing, he says, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? We are to thank God at all times. We are to thank God for everything. Whew. This sermon almost did not get preached because of this last point. Because when I preach, I try to preach with integrity. Every time I preach either something I'm doing, and if I haven't reached it, I'm at least striving for it. But I'm not here. I'm not thankful for everything. I'm not thankful at all times. So the Lord and I had an argument. How can I preach this when I know I can't stand in front of the congregation and with any integrity say that I do this? So I almost threw it in the garbage can, but the Lord didn't let me. So when the Lord didn't let me put it in the garbage can, I know y'all going to find this hard to believe, but sometimes preachers are accused of embellishing. Well, I promise I'm not embellishing on this next statement. I read six translations and two paraphrases trying to find a rendering of the verse that was more palatable. Trying to find a softer version of Paul's statement. But they all said the same thing. So if you have eight different renderings in the English that are saying the same thing, it must be God wants it in there. And so then my pastoral side comes out. Lord, I'm not thankful for everything. And you know there are people in Walker, excuse me,
there are people in Walker dealing with stuff that I can't tell them they ought to be thankful for it. But to soften the scripture is not to be true to the scripture. The scripture calls us to be thankful at all times and for everything. I'm not there. I am not thankful for what happened to my son Zach in that accident. Matter of fact, I'm still angry at the fool that hit the wrong button and put him where he is. But that's not what the Bible calls me to. Actually, the Bible's calling me to forgive that dummy, so I've got that to work on. Plus, trying to be thankful. So the only way I can share this with integrity, but not soften the scripture, besides what I've already said, is try to say where I am and where I'm trying to grow to. So the first thing is I am trying to be intentional and being thankful, or to not to forget to thank God for the obvious blessings. Now that may be, again, well, that John, sure. But how many times do we accept a good thing sent from God and we just go on our merry way? How many times do we accept the blessings of God and we just go on our merry way? Our grandchildren spent the Friday night with us and part of the day Saturday with us, and I stopped and thanked God for it. Because I'm thankful that my two grandkids want to spend time with Mimi and Pop. I stopped and gave thanks. And I hope I'm doing so for those other blessings in life. And then there's the goal to grow in such a close walk with Jesus that I'm able to live the message of a song by a Christian group, singing group called I Am They. The name of the song is Thankful for the Scars. And the way this song is, if you have to be paying attention or you'll miss it. The writer's saying they're thankful for their scars. And then they transition into why or how they're thankful for their scars. The song says, waking up to the new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything, because my brokenness brought me to you. And these wounds are a story you'll use. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness. And I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. And then it transitions. I can see how you delivered me in your hands, in your feet. I found my victory. I can see how you delivered me in your hands, in your feet. I found my victory. I'm thankful for your scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And with my life, I'll tell of who you are. So forever, I am thankful. I am thankful for the scars. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. I'm not there yet, but I'm praying one day I will be. Because I realize until I can get to that place through the strength of God, I will not be walking as close to God as is possible. Until I can get to that place where I am not yet, I won't know the overwhelming presence of God
that I can know. So am I there? No. Do I hope to be? Do I pray to be? Yes. I'm not praying for anything to prove the point. But when it comes, I pray that one day I'm able to be thankful for the scars. So I hope and pray that we are a congregation who lives wisely. I hope and pray that we are a congregation who comes together and we're singing in our hearts and we're singing with our voices. And that we can grow to be that place where we're able to thank God in all times and for everything. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, you know each one of us in this room. You know those places where we have lived unwisely as opposed to wise. Help us to recognize those places and give us the strength to make those changes that we would live as wise and not foolish. Lord, I pray that our hearts are in such communion with you that we are singing inwardly and that when we come together, we would not be afraid to sing outwardly. For Paul has told us this morning that when we sing inwardly and outwardly, we encourage one another. And Lord, you know each one of us in this room. You know how mature in our faith that we are, that we're able to thank you in all places for everything. And you know we're not there yet. Lord, you love us and you understand. But that doesn't take away from your calling. So gracious Lord, for each of us, help us to walk closer to you each day. Not seeking any negative, but when it comes, may we grow to that place through the strength of your Spirit, that we may truly be able to thank you in all places and for everything. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is "There's Within My Heart a Melody." We'll sing 1, 2, 4, and 5. Let's stand as we sing.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus. Jesus, sweetest name I know, till triumph.